My name is Amir Abdul-Rahim, and I'm 13 years old.
And I'm Peyton Pinkston. I'm 14 years old.
We interviewed Reverend and Betty Robinson on October 23rd, 2008.
In Indianapolis, Indiana, hold your hats, in 1929.
My gracious. I was born in Connellsville, Pennsylvania, in 1927. I'm 2 years older than Graham.
Wow.
I got involved deeply into civil rights while I was at Bidwell Church. Very, very deep into civil rights. And I had an opportunity to meet Dr. King and walk with him at Selma. You know, I saw him at the end of the march at Montgomery. In those days when all of us were trying to get voter registration, you remember when they tried to walk across the Edmund Pettus Bridge and got beat up? So I walked there, and at the end of the march, I saw Dr. King make a speech, and it equaled the speech that was given at the March on Washington. I went to the University of Pittsburgh. My first year there was 1945, and I graduated in 1951. I had some time in the Army, so I missed a couple of years at Pitt.
I'm a graduate of Shenley High School in Pittsburgh. Yay, Shenley. And I went to the University of Pittsburgh and graduated in 1951 with an undergrad degree.
Well, the first job I had when I was out of Pitt, I was drafted by the Cleveland Browns. But then when I was playing there, I got drafted in the Army. I spent 3 years in the Army in special services and played football in the Army. Then when I came out, I was older, and they traded me to the Steelers. And then I was released by the Steelers and went to Montreal, Canada. So most all of my adolescent years, up until the time that I was about 27, were in trying to make it in professional football. Then later on, I ended up coming back to Pittsburgh and going into the theological seminary, where I became a minister in a church.
I got a job at Beltsuwer School. I was the first Negro teacher. Negro. And he was in seminary. He couldn't work. In those days, you couldn't go to seminary part-time. You had to go all day. So he had to quit his job, and he went to seminary, and I put him through school. And he worked 3 months in the summer digging ditches to make up for some money. Anyhow, the woman at the school board told me, well, you understand you're the first Negro that's going to teach in Beltsuwer, and if you don't make it, then no other Negro will make it. And there were things even back then I would like to have said to her. But we needed the money.
All the guys that I played ball with were all white. And, you know, small town in those days, I'm talking about 1945. That's a long time ago. My name, the athletic name I still carry, was Jimmy Joe Robinson. There was a young fella in a place called Derry Township who was a good athlete, too. So I was in study hall my senior year when they began to recruit athletes to go to college. So this recruiter from the University of Georgia called me out, thought that my last name was Joe. And when he saw me coming and looked up and saw me and saw that I was black, his teeth almost fell out. And there's no way in the world that, you know, that I was going to be able to go to the University of Georgia in 1945. So the man was embarrassed. And then, of course, 17 years old, I really understood the whole scenario.
James, you tell that part, Dad, about how you started, because there wouldn't have been a MYDC if you hadn't started it.
It wasn't called MYDC then. Our denomination, the Pittsburgh Presbyterian Church, funded the gymnasium that you see at the center. It was a plumbing warehouse, and we received dollars from what was called a $50 million fund. The plumbing warehouse was developed into a real gymnasium, a snack bar, when then early on it was roller skating, all recreation. It was dancing, it was ballet, it was instruments, it was all that. Then it developed into what was called the Bidwell Education and Recreation Center. It wasn't called MYDC until later. But Bidwell Church was instrumental in starting that. Bidwell Church was also instrumental in starting what is called the Manchester Craftsman's Guild in the Bidwell Training Center. They started that. They still carry our name. But we were the founders of that. That's how it started.
His children that they catered to were kids that were on the street. And you have to remember, you know, there were the riots. We had the riots in Manchester. It was rough times. It was rough times. And we were under martial law, which means the National Guard came in for a good while. So James and three other ministers at Bidwell Church started getting boys off the street so they wouldn't be put in jail. And that went on for a while. And then pretty soon when they were teaching music to children, they found out that children had difficulty reading. So they came to me and asked, could I help out with the reading? Years ago, when I was little, there was a Jewish synagogue near us. And every evening, yellow buses would pull up, just like the children ride in now. Yellow buses would pull up after school. And these little Jewish kids would get off the bus and run into this synagogue, and we used to wonder why, but I never found out till later. When I went to Montreal after school, the yellow buses pulled up to take the children to another school. Well, I found out later they were going to a Jewish school where they learned about their culture, and I think some education, and I never forgot it. So I thought, okay, so maybe we need an after-school program. And I'm not sure there are any in the city in 1970. So I went out in a neighborhood and I asked the parents, if you had your wish, what would you want for your child or your children? And they said, I would want my child or my children to read better than I do. And that's how the after-school program started, with 35 children, 9 to 13 years old. He was the money raiser. He's good at that. He'd raise the money, and I'd spend it on the children. And I'm still spending money on children. But that's how it started. And that's how, where you all are today, that's how it started, in the gymnasium.